Amen. I appreciate all that you do to help this church. Every one of you, you're important. You may not feel that way sometimes. I may not express it as often as I should, but I appreciate all of you. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for your faithful support that helps us to keep the lights on and things going. Amen, and thank you for providing for my wife and I. We appreciate you very much. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. Paul asked a question of the Galatians. He started the church, and he loved the people. He knew the people. And he asked the question in his letter. He said, "Ye did run well. Who," everybody say who "did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Now, this letter is written to Christians. These are people who knew the truth. These are people who started the race. These people received the Holy Ghost. These people were baptized in Jesus' name. These people believed in the holiness message. These people started out running the right race. And Paul asked a question. He said, "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Amen. And I want to talk to you tonight on a real simple subject, but I think an important subject, and that is hindrances. You're going to have them. Hindrances. You're going to run into them. Hindrances. God bless you. May be seated. One of the hindrances that we run into is what? It's called worldly wisdom. And we're surrounded with it. Paul wrote to Timothy, his son in the gospel, in the 4th chapter, verse 1-3. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Amen. And so he just lets us know in the last days, worldly wisdom is going to get some folks. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, "What I preach is more than the truth. Don't listen to it." When you preach more than the truth, you've gone too far. Back up. Get back to the truth. Amen. When people start preaching these revelations that they've gotten from angels and written on golden tablets, that's too far. When people start preaching things that are outside the Word of God, that's too far. Amen. The Bible said in the last days, and we're living in that time, as Brother Raymond has already said, he said that there's some that'll depart from the truth, from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. They're out there. There are some people, you know, they could... we used to say charm the hair off a billy goat. I mean, they're charming. And I don't mean charismatic in the sense of describing a religious group. I mean it in the sense of a person that has great personal charm and ability. And they're easy. It's just to win themselves to an individual. And you just like them. Everybody likes them. And it's okay to be likable, but stay in the truth. And no matter how likable they are, don't listen if it's not the truth. It doesn't matter how well they can say it. It doesn't matter how excited they get when they say it. It doesn't matter how many degrees they have attached to their name. They can have more degrees than a thermometer. But if they preach more than the truth, it's wrong. Worldly wisdom. It's out there, folks. And we're living in a time when people have made a god out of science. Science is a tool. to seek truth and to establish truth. But it is not in itself truth. It's a mere instrument. That's all it is. But people have made science a god. And if science doesn't prove it, then you don't believe it. Amen. You can have science. I'll take faith. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are some things I don't understand, but I believe in it, and so do you. I've heard people say, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. Well, you believe in electricity? Have you ever seen it? No. You can see its demonstration. Matter of fact, it's all around us here tonight, but you don't see electricity. It's invisible to the eye. You can feel it. I've felt it a few times. Amen. And it'll make, if you don't believe in it, I'll help you be a believer. I know how to do that. Amen. It's a simple process to believe in it because it's real. Amen. And so people, but they believe, get persuaded by science, so-called. Amen. And so be careful, folks, about worldly wisdom. It can be a hindrance. I'm not against science. We benefit from it, and I thank God for the good things it produces. But just don't put it in the place of God. Amen. Maintain your faith. Don't give up your faith for science. I read an article one time by some learned men. They were all doctors, very educated people. They started out studying biblical archaeology, and every one of them wound up being atheist. Science took their faith away from them. And I don't know about you folks, but you know, science does not establish God for me. Faith establishes God for me. Some good common sense establishes God for me. Amen. But it's founded on faith. And so worldly wisdom can take away your faith if you're not careful. The Bible teaches that materialism can take away your faith. It has destroyed the faith of some. Paul, again, writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Just being godly and just saying, I've got enough. Boy, that's a good feeling. You know, it comes Christmas time and somebody says, what do you want for Christmas? Don't want a thing. What do you want for your birthday? Don't want a thing. All of my wants are taken care of. All of my needs are taken care of. I'm content. I don't need any more stuff. I spent all this week moving stuff. My, how much stuff can you get in a house anyhow? And you know you don't want to get rid of any of it. What I've decided is my wife needs to go through my stuff and get rid of the stuff I don't need. But wait. And I get to go through her stuff and get rid of what she doesn't need. Because I've seen the side where the wife goes through the husband's stuff and says, you don't need this anymore. But don't touch her stuff. Maybe it was 3 sizes ago, but don't touch it. Materialism. Amen. It has hindered some. It has hindered some. For we brought nothing into this world. Boy, is that a fact. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that have noticed this will be rich. Doesn't say those that are rich. It just say there wannabes. And there's a lot of people that are wannabes that are not. But they've got the spirit of avarice and greed. Whether they have it or not, they want it. And they despise others that do have it, and they don't. Amen. And that's the spirit of wealth. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They have erred from the faith. You understand? I'm talking about hindrances to your faith. Amen. There were some people that allowed stuff. Amen. I know what I'm talking about here tonight. Praise God. And don't let stuff take you away from God. I don't care if you have a boat, but don't use it on Sunday. I'm getting ready to. I don't care if you got fishing equipment. Don't use it on Sunday. I don't care what kind of toys and stuff you have. Don't let it keep you out of the house of God. Amen. I don't care if you have a vacation home. Just don't let it take you out of the house of God. Amen. It doesn't matter. But if you got so much stuff that you got to work two or three jobs that you can't be in the house of God, get rid of some of your stuff. Because you're replacing your faith with stuff. And that's a hindrance. And that's a hindrance. If your stuff keeps you from serving God and being in church, you got too much stuff. The Bible said they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Boy, have I seen that happen. It's all around us, folks. We live in a nation that is just completely eaten up with materialism. We live in an age when people have killed other people over a pair of tennis shoes that had a brand on them. People have killed somebody over a jacket that had the particular symbol of some kind of a ball team. Materialism. People have literally sold their souls and their bodies for materialism. Stuff. Amen. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, hindrances. And then, another thing that can hinder us is worldly lust. Galatians 5 said it this way, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. He's saying, don't allow the lust of the flesh to lead you, but follow after the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Amen. Our worldly lust, folks, can be a hindrance if we give in to it. And do I need to put a little skin on that? I put a whole lot of skin on it. Too much. Amen. Your fork can be a worldly lust. Amen. There's a lot of things that of themselves are innocent. But when we give in to them too much, then they can become a worldly lust that keep us from God. Amen. Praise God. something as good as work can be an idol. Something as simple as a good relationship that keeps you out of church. Remember that song, Excuses? Excuses. We hear them every day. The devil will supply them if from church you'll stay away. Amen. Isn't that right? I like that verse that talked about, you know, the little kid that come down with a cold and the whole family had to stay home to blow his nose. Amen. Praise God. And so just listening to this old flesh too much. Amen. That worldly lust can be a hindrance. Personal grief can be a hindrance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to go through trials, folks. We're going to go through trials. But don't let your trial rob you of your faith. Don't let it get between you and God, but let it drive you to God. Instead of letting it make you stop praying, pray through it. Pray through it. That's a good old Pentecostal jargon that we still need to use often. Pray through. What does that mean, brother? Exactly what it says. Amen. Whatever's between you and God, pray through it. Pray until you get through. And you and I know what happens when we get through. Hallelujah. Anybody know what it's like to pray through? Amen. Praise God. I love to counsel folks and help people, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing like praying through. Amen. There's nothing like just getting so mad at the devil, you're just not going to take it anymore, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you say, I've had enough, I'm going to pray through, and you find yourself a place to pray, and you just pray until you drive the clouds away, and the darkness flees, and heaven opens, and down comes the answer of peace, and power, and joy, and the Spirit of the Lord fills you with fullness. Amen. And you have prayed through that situation. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't let anything get between you and God. Pray through it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about hindrances tonight. But say hindrances. Unforgiveness can be a hindrance. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan get an advantage of us. You see, unforgiveness opens an opportunity for Satan to get to you. Hello? Is it worth it, folks, to carry a grudge? Is it worth it to open that door? I don't know about you, but until I forgive folks, I just don't feel very good. I don't like feeling bad. Not that I know anything about this, just what I've heard. But, you know, I've heard husbands and wives have problems. And one of them sitting there rubbing, you know, polishing that doorknob on that side. The other one over here, you know, cold. Don't even need an air conditioner. It's so cold in the car. Go home, go to bed. One of them's about to fall off on that side. And the other one's just about to fall off on this side. Amen. And it's like Antarctica in the middle. If it's a waterbed, it's frozen. Amen. Y'all are laughing. I think I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. Y'all kind of know what I'm talking about. I'm feeling better about it now. Amen. So you see, unforgiveness, it can rob you of precious time. It can rob you of a relationship. Hey, folks, life is short. When you kiss somebody goodbye in the morning, you don't know that you'll see them that afternoon. You just better be careful. Don't let unforgiveness make you live a life of regrets. Hey, but Brother Grissom, you don't know what they did to me. You're right. I don't know. But I do know that unforgiveness opens an opportunity for Satan to work in your life. And it'll hinder you. And for your own sake, you need to forgive. For your own salvation, you need to forgive. Is it easy? No, but it's a work of grace. But if God can forgive you, He can give you the grace to forgive others. And until you do, you will be hindered. Amen. So unforgiveness is a hindrance. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18 that Satan is a hinderer. Paul said this. He said, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." You know, the devil will try to hinder you. He'll put obstacles in your way. He'll put difficulties in your path. Amen. The Bible said that false brethren can hinder you. Everybody say false brethren. Those words just don't go together. But it happens. There are people that will hug you with one arm and stab you with the other. They're false brethren. And Paul wrote to the Galatian church about these folks. He said, "But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." If somebody comes to you saying, "Brother, whoo, I'll tell you what, I have found a doctrine. I thought I knew the truth before, but I have found something that has liberated me. I'm as liberated as I need to be." Amen. I have been set free, I'm telling you. Amen. And all the things that were a bondage when you came to God, all of a sudden they're okay now. The stuff you got rid of when you repented, now it's okay to pick it up again. Hello? Stuff you couldn't wait for God to forgive you for and get over. Now all of a sudden you want to take it up again because you've been liberated. No! You've been deceived. Amen. If it hindered you before you served God, there's no liberation from that. Amen. That you never get liberated from something that hindered you before. If it hindered you before you came to God, it hindered you while you lived in the world, it's going to hinder you always. It's a hindrance. Let it go. Stay away from it. Amen. False brethren. Amen. They're a hindrance. The Bible talked about men pleasers. That can be a hindrance. He said, "For now do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Doing what people want you to do can be a hindrance. Hello? Is that all right? I said, doing just what people want you to do can be a hindrance to you. Amen. That's right. There are some folks, some things that people want you to do that you know is wrong. Don't do it. Don't do it. "Well, they're my friend." Not really. Not if they're making you go against your conviction. Not if they're asking you to do something that you don't feel right about doing. Not if they're trying to make you serve God less instead of more. You can still love them, but you just say, "Brother, that's not right for me. I don't feel good about this." Amen. You see, it can be a hindrance, can it? It can be a hindrance. Men pleasers. Amen. Deceivers. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Who hath bewitched you? Who has deceived you? That's a hindrance. Be careful. I'm just honest tonight, folks. It bothers me a little bit when folks are just not stable. You know, they're always looking for the esoteric. They're always looking for the deep things, the deep end. Amen. Hey, if it was good enough to save you, it's good enough to keep you. It's good enough to keep you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So be careful about deceivers. Amen. Paul's writing to a church that he loved. Paul's talking to a church that he preached the gospel, and they received it joyfully. And a few years later, they started losing it. And he's asking them, who hindered you? Who? The term means to push off course. Who pushed you off the course? Who got alongside you and shoved you out of the way? That's what he's talking about. So he said there's deceivers. You got it. They're a hindrance to you. And some of them are cheerleaders. It said they zealously affect you, but not well. When I was younger, well, I just like to watch people get excited. And if somebody, I mean, when they preached that they got excited, and the louder they yelled, the more anointed I thought they were. And the higher they could jump and the faster they could run, I thought, what? That was an anointed man of God. But then I got to listening. And I discovered that it wasn't just how they said it, but what did they say? Usually it's just a whole lot of hallelujahs, amen, glory to Jesus, amen, and there wasn't a whole lot more. And people just got excited because they were excited. I remember Sister Willie Johnson was preaching one time, and a bug got under, remember her cape? She used to wear a cape when she preached. And a bug got in her cape, and boy, she was trying to get that thing out of there. And the church went wild. I mean, they started shouting, and she got upset. She got control, and she said, wait. Don't you know when somebody's got a bug down their back? Hey, don't take much to set some folks off. And I like people to get excited. I'm all about excitement. Amen. I've got a lot of bounce of the ounce. I just got too many ounces right now. I can't bounce as much as I used to. But I'm bouncing on the inside. Amen. And jiggling on the outside. Amen. But don't let cheerleaders hinder you. No, cheerleading is... I like people to lead in worship. Pardon me, I'm getting old, I guess, because there's some things that kind of hinder me a little bit. I don't like to be in a worship service where people are cheerleading, telling me every few seconds something to do. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Turn around. Tell your neighbor he's better than you. I don't know if he is or not. I'm not going to lie. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's better looking than you are. Well, he may not be. And I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I can't lie. You know what I'm talking about? Cheerleading. Everybody clap your hands. Everybody jump up and down. Everybody do this. Everybody do that. Rah, rah, rah. Sis, boom, bah. Of course, in the Holy Ghost. I was in one place, and the guy told me, he said, brother, you need to jump for joy. Jump to get it. No, I jump because I have it. Amen. But cheerleading. Brother J.T. Pugh said it one time, and I admire him so much. He said, I hate that. He said, I wish they'd just shut up and let me worship. But we get cheerleaders. Amen. And then they think that we've got to. Have you ever heard the term be still and know that I'm God? Have you ever heard of a still, small voice? Understand God moves in many ways. Amen. And don't anybody take this personal tonight. Amen. Brother Raymond, you especially don't take this personal. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about cheerleaders in general. You understand? Amen. So what you do is you just worship God. You just worship God. And here's my all-time favorite, peeve, I guess. I've heard it so many times, so many places. I don't know who did the timing, but I've heard so many say it. And you'll probably hear it again when they do. Just forgive them. They know not what they do. But I've heard people say so many times. They'd say, you know, you tell Pentecostals to worship, and in about 20 seconds, they'll quit worshiping. I'm going to tell you why they do. Because cheerleaders have trained them. And it's very seldom that we'll go 20 seconds without somebody telling us what next to do. And they're just waiting for the next instruction. They're being patient. They're being obedient. They've been trained by cheerleaders instead of worshipers. If you go to Columbia and you say, worship the Lord, they're going to take you serious. And maybe in about 30 minutes, you might get it back. Because they're going to worship. Amen. They're going to get locked in and zoned in, and they're going to go for it with everything they've got. And you're going to be blocked out because you told them to worship. Amen. Because they're not used to cheerleaders. They haven't been exposed to cheerleaders. And I hope to God they never are. Amen. Praise. Is that okay? I hope that's all right. Well, that was all right because it was in the Holy Ghost. Cheerleaders. There are some that zealously affect you, but not well. Not well. Amen. They want you to get excited because they really don't have much to say. They're so shallow and superficial that they're just selling you the sizzle. And that's all they've got to offer is a show and a program. Amen. Glory seekers. Galatians 6 and 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised, that is the Jews, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. If you've been around somebody, oh, they were so holy. And you just wish you could be as holy, and they wish you could be as holy as they are. But you probably never will be, of course. I was a young Christian, a young man. Every time I got around him, I felt condemned and worthless. Because he was always telling about how many souls he'd won, and this that he'd done for God, and that he'd done for God, and how many days he'd fasted, and how many nights he'd lain awake without any sleep, just prayed all night long. I felt so carnal being around somebody so spiritual. Amen. And the next time I saw him, he was a shim. He wasn't a he anymore. You never know about glory seekers. Amen. There's people that are glory seekers. Amen. And the only reason they want to win you is so that you'll be a trophy on their wall. Amen. You listen to me well. You don't win people to you. You win people to Jesus Christ. And they are not yours. They are His. If you win people to you, then you have your own cult. We are called to win people to Jesus. We are called to win people to Jesus. Amen. That's our job. But some came and said, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's okay. It's okay to have Jesus. That's a good thing. But there's some things you don't know that I know. There's a few of us. There's a few of us. And you might be one of them. If you'll just listen and follow me, I can tell you things you've never heard. That's right, they can. And they can take you places you really don't want to go as a Christian. Glory seekers. Glory seekers. In Bible times, they were called Judaizers. And they would come to Christian groups that were serving Jesus Christ. They would tell them, it's okay for you to serve Jesus, but you still need to be under the law of Moses. You still have to offer sacrifices just like you always did. You still have to go to the temple. You still have to take your bullocks and your turtle doves and you still have to take your rams and your lambs for sacrifice. You still have to go by all the traditions of men. You still have to go by all of that stuff if you're going to be saved. Jesus is not enough. If anybody ever tells you He's not enough, you get away as fast as you can. In order to be saved, you've got to have Jesus and do this. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Amen. He's all you need. He's enough. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, it is finished. There's no more to do. This is it. As a matter of fact, the Bible in the book of Hebrews said, there remaineth no more sacrifice or no other sacrifice for sin. You can burn all the bulls and goats that you want to. It's not going to do you any good. You can shed all the animal blood you want to. It's not going to do you any good. That was just to bring us to Christ. But once Christ came, He's the only acceptable sacrifice. But there are glory seekers that will hinder you. Be careful. Don't let them hinder you. Don't let them push you aside, get you off track. Be very careful. Amen. Be very careful. Praise God. Your own flesh, this stuff we're covered with, it's a hindrance. It can be a big hindrance, right? Amen. I hope I'm just not just talking to me here, though I am. Amen. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Everybody say temperate in all things. That's the word, temperate. Balanced. Balanced. And all things. You've heard somebody say about somebody, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Amen. We got to have our mind on heaven, but we got to live on the earth. Amen. Praise God. We got to be balanced, temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that just beateth the air. Have you ever seen somebody just kind of faking it? You can tell their heart's not in it. They're running, but they're just running. They're not really running. They're not running with winning on their mind. It's just kind of a half-hearted effort. They're just kind of going through some motions. Beating the air, Paul says. Amen. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. There's hindrances, folks. This body can hinder us. Its appetites, its flesh, its carnality can hinder us. We've got to keep it under subjection. Amen. This little red devil behind the pearly white gates, you got to keep that under subjection. These hands, got to keep them under subjection. These eyes, got to keep them under subjection. These ears, you got to keep them under subjection. This old body, you got to keep it under subjection. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I just can't control myself. Well, then you just need to pray through all over again. Amen. That's not an excuse for a Christian. I said that's not an excuse for a Christian. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Our only goal is excellence. To be totally subjected to Jesus Christ. Amen. This body can be a hindrance. Amen. Just don't let it be. Amen. What's the conclusion of the matter? Hindrances. They're all around us. Amen. Here it is. Let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He said, looking unto Jesus. There it is. Get your eyes up on Him. Don't look on your neighbor. Don't look at people. Don't look at preachers. Get your eyes on Jesus. Your brother can help you. Your preacher can help you. Others can help you. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Your brother can fail. Your preacher can fail. But keep your eyes on Jesus. He will not fail. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The word author, I like that word. That means He's the pioneer. He's the one that blazed the trail. He is, in His own words, He's the way. Amen. The author, finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Just got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Look to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I guess it was in the 50s sometime. There was a tremendous preacher. Started a church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good preacher. Great preacher. Preached the truth. And then the latter rain came along. And people began casting off doctrines that they had preached for years. For this new doctrine, which really is an old doctrine. Every now and then it just puts on a new dress and shows up again. So they began to cast off doctrines they had preached. And this pastor that had established a strong and large church in the city of Indianapolis had a meeting with the saints. And he said, saints, he said, I have been mistaken. He said, some of the things that I have preached to you, I no longer believe are necessary. He said, we don't have to do these things anymore. And one of the brethren stood up and called his name and said, Pastor, you have taught us the truth. And we're not going to move from that. And that pastor went on. But that church is still there today. It's still a strong church today. It's still a powerful lighthouse for truth. It has maintained its integrity through all of these years. Even though its founder said, I have found another way, the church said, you have found it, but will not follow you there. You taught us from the Word of God. You established us on this foundation, and this is where we will stay. Amen. That's a successful ministry. Not a successful minister because he went astray, but it was a successful ministry. He founded a church on truth, and it stayed on truth even when he got off track. And I pray today that we'll be so strong that nothing can blow us off course. No one can blow us off course. No one can shove us off course, but that we'll stay the course all the way until the end. So the question again, he said, who did hinder you? Amen. There's some people tonight, I wish I could ask that question. Even as I say that, some of those faces and names go through your own mind. And you want to say, who did hinder you? You started out so well. You were doing so good. Who hindered you? Amen. Our response, folks, has to be, nothing's going to hinder us. Nothing's going to hinder us. Nothing's going to stop us. Amen. You've got to make up in your own mind between you and Jesus Christ that nothing's going to get between you. Amen. Let's stand together. Hindrances. Hindrances. There's going to be a lot of them in life. And I know I've taken some time, and my, have we read a lot of scriptures tonight, and we've covered a lot of territory, a lot of ground. We've talked about a lot of things, but I'm just telling you, there's a lot of hindrances out there that are going to try to push you off course. Some of them are what's and some of them are who's, but don't let either one get you off course. Make up your mind tonight. Jesus, it's just you and me. We started out together, and we're going to finish this thing together. Amen. I'm going to try to bring brothers and sisters with me. I'm going to do everything I can, but I'm not going to let anything stop me. And I'm not going to let anybody push me off course. If criticism will do it, you won't make it. If people hurting your feelings can do it, you won't make it. I hadn't been living for the Lord but a little while, maybe a year or two, and a sister in the church come to me. And she said, Johnny, she said, I didn't think you'd make it this long. Didn't think you'd make it this long. Amen. 42 years later, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, if the Lord tarries 52 years from now, by the grace of God. If the Lord tarries 62 years from now, by the grace of God. Amen. My mind's made up. Your mind's made up. Folks, let's don't let anything hinder us. Please don't let anything hinder you. It's such a heartbreak to see people that started the race. Let something hinder them. Sometimes you just weep, God. They're old enough to know better. They ran so well for so long. What hindered them? What pushed them off course? Don't let anything hinder you tonight. Don't you come down here and tell the Lord tonight, I'm not going to let anything between us. Nothing. Nothing. Criticism's not going to do it. People can say what they want to say. It's not going to stop me. People can hurt my feelings, but feelings will heal. I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm not going to let bitterness or unforgiveness stop me. I'm not going to let glory seekers or deceivers or cheerleaders get in my way. I'm not going to let worldly wisdom stop me. I'm not going to let this old flesh stop me. Jesus, we've started on a journey. I started out running this race, and I've still got winning on my mind. I know it's not a dash. It's not going to be over in a little while. I'm just going to have to get up every day and pick up the baton and run on. I'm going to get jostled. There may even be times I'll stumble and fall, but I'll get back up and I'll pick up that precious baton, the cross. I'll run on, Jesus, if you'll just help me. And by your grace, I'm going to make it. By your grace, I'm going to make it. One of these days, I'm going to press through. My feet will fly from the firm old earth and step on streets of gold. I'll triumphantly march through a pearly gate. I'll see you on your throne in all of your glory. And it'll be worth it all. Changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal puts on immortality. This corruption puts on incorruption. Amen. I enter for eternity into the peace and the power and the glory of the Lord. Jesus, I'm going to make it. My mind is made up. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to hinder me.
See you. from every stage and set me free.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.